Ladies and gentlemen, life's all about seizing opportunities. You need to be present, you need to be engaging, and you need to take chances. And the wedding industry is no different, and you only get one chance to create the perfect day. Welcome to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is AJ Cruz, and this episode of The Perfect Day Show, I almost forgot my own show. That's not okay, Emmy. This episode of The Perfect Day Show is brought to you by Buttoned Up Weddings and Events. That's my company. We provide wedding videography and photography, and we're going to take care of a little bit of housekeeping in this episode today. So what I ask from the audience, from you guys, is to share the show. Share it with your friend, share it with your mom, share it with your dad, share it with your grandma. I don't care who you share it with, but to grow the show, we need to share the show. So that's all I ask of you guys. And also just a little bit of news. We created a new Instagram profile, so it's called The Perfect Day Show. That way you guys can follow us, see all the awesome information that our new guest on this show, Emmy Gorman, has to say, and all of our previous guests as well. So give that a follow. And I've already kind of spoiled it, but our guest today is Emmy Gorman from Blush Bridal. So happy to have you, Emmy.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today. This is a great way to start my Friday.
Absolutely. I mean, happy Friday, right? I have a friend, her name's Meredith, and she's like, you need to be a Monday or a Friday in a world of Mondays. And so I've always lived by that quote. So I think of every day as a Friday. So I love it.
That's awesome.
I love it. So we're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about your business a little bit, but I want to get to know you a little bit better. So I want to hear sort of your business origin story. Talk to me about how you got into the wedding dress business in the first place.
Yeah, it's kind of a mismatch of serendipitous events, I guess. I was a teacher for 10 years. We lived in Madison, Wisconsin prior to living here in Lincoln. And we moved to Lincoln to be near family once we were having our second child. So we got here and I was staying at home with my kiddos. And at that point, I was kind of ready to re-enter the workforce. And being a teacher, I figured out pretty quickly it was difficult to find a job here in Lincoln with quite a bit of years of experience and an advanced degree. It proved to be really difficult, which I didn't expect. And so at that time, it was just kind of like, well, I guess if I could do anything, what would I do? And so I just started thinking about, literally, if I could do anything, what would I do? And I started thinking about the bridal industry in specific because I also have a friend who owns a store back in Madison where we were living previously. And I always kind of lived maybe on her coattails, I guess, admiring her work and the fun things she got to do in her business. So I, you know, being the total like nerd that I am, I just started writing a business plan because I had no idea what the market was like in Lincoln, what it would take to open a business, what the, you know, competition was like. So I just started writing a business plan. I wrote full time for 6 months to just kind of see if it would be possible. And after that point, you know, once it gets to a certain point, it's kind of like, well, you can't like go back anymore. Like, oh, I can get funding for this. Oh, I did find a building for this. Like, I guess this is what we're doing. So that was in, let's see, we opened in October of 2012. So we're almost going on 9 years now. And certainly the business plan has changed a lot over the course of those 9 years. And my role within the business, of course, has changed, you know, within those 9 years as well. But hardest experience ever, but most rewarding experience as well. So I'm sure you understand that being in a small business. So
absolutely.
Yeah, it's been great.
That's awesome. So you grew up in Madison and so your friend owned a wedding dress company. So then that inspired you to want to also start your own. And so you asked the question to yourself, like, if I could do anything, what would I want to do? And that was your baby basically, right?
Yes, very much so. And as much as I love fashion, I also have a strong, the mission for my business is really giving individuals an opportunity to develop work and personal skills. So providing, you know, for other opportunities or other individuals in our community via the business. So, you know, I take being an employer super seriously as well, probably just as, you know, as seriously as anything else within the business. So that was a big motivator to be able to provide opportunities for individuals in our community as well.
That's a really, really good mission statement too. I love that. And I love how internal that is too. Because you hear it. So like you hear a lot of, I mean, it's not such a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I think every business needs to have that external mission statement, but to have one internally and to see like how passionate you are about creating that like workplace journey almost, because you also don't want to just create jobs for them. You want to create the opportunity to grow and like move up, right?
Yes, that's a huge part. So a majority of my team has been with me for almost the entire time I've been in business. And, you know, all of them started in very small roles, just weekend stylists. I don't want to say small, but just they weren't here as often, I guess, involved in the business. And they've all grown into larger roles, you know, store management, receiving manager, marketing manager. We have our own jewelry company. So one of our, you know, first stylists is now a designer and controls all production for Lovebird. So it's been really cool to be able to, with a growing business, like invent roles that best suit our individuals as well, because we do have that flexibility of being able to create roles for the people that we have in our organization.
I was going to ask, cause like, obviously I'm not at that point yet, but like, what's it feel like to have to, cause you literally have to like make up a role, right? You have to come up with, you have to invent something for this person to be able to move into. What's that like?
You know, you have to think about like, you know, what the, obviously what the business needs and what the strengths of this person are, you know, are, and if they match. But, you know, the roles within a small business are ever evolving, right? So it takes a certain personality or employee to work through that, right? Like they're always changing, they're always growing, they're at, you know, we're adding things to their role, we're taking some responsibilities and giving them to other people. So it's really about the adaptability also of your employee to be able to just kind of roll with that, you know, and be an ever evolving, I don't know, role, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to get more into like the very beginnings of like Blush. I want to understand, because I always think these types of stories are super interesting, but talk to me about like the name itself, Blush Bridal. How did you come up with that? Because for instance, for me, I went through a plethora of different, it was insane how many different names I came up with, some that I'm so happy I threw away. But like, how did Blush become to be?
Yeah. So when I started thinking about branding, I was thinking about kind of just wedding phrases, you know, something borrowed, something blue, blushing bride, wearing white. And I just started, you know, thinking about imagery that could go along with that. And obviously you have to do a little research too. Like, is a domain taken for, you know, if I wanted to do something blue, oh wait, there's a something blue store already out there. That's not going to work. So, you know, there was a little bit of that too, but it was really just brainstorming bridal phrases and seeing what would be the best fit. So Blush Bridal, you know, is something that we landed on, and it's been great. I wish I would have trademarked it right away. Unfortunately, I didn't. And there's some Blush Bridals out there. Lessons learned, right? So
lessons learned. I don't even know how much it costs a trademark, but I feel like the long-term value is massive, because it's just, I don't know, there's some companies out there that just own some wild words, like some of the most like basic or like most mundane words. It's just like the what's the SEO, like to be able to use those in your website and stuff is like amazing. So that's awesome. So let's talk more about how much your business has changed in the past 9 years since you guys have been in business. I want to know what's different about how you guys operate, the people you have, the way you approach your customer service than when you did 9 years ago when you first opened up.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the facilities and the logistics of the business has changed massively in the amount of people that we see and the employees that we have, but the heart of the business, the mission of the business has always remained the same. And that's pretty amazing, going from, you know, seeing maybe, I don't even know how many brides we had our first year, to, you know, we dress about 600 brides a year now. The heart of the business is still the same. Like, our brides still are in awe of the personal connections we have with each of them. Our brides love knowing that we already know about their wedding before their first appointment, because we put so much into, you know, questionnaires and phone calls beforehand, so we can get to know them. And then afterward, they also know that if they ever have questions, you know, about their order or about any of the process, they can call the store, and the person that answers the phone is going to be immediately familiar with them their order and the information that they need. So, you know, although we've scaled quite a bit over the 9 years in terms of just logistics, the mission and the heart, thankfully, has been able to scale with us and remain the same. So, and that's really important. That's something yeah. that is the heart of our business. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. And it sounds like you take your client relationships really, really seriously, which is massive.
It's super, you know, bridal gown shopping is a really memorable experience. It's something that brides want to have with, you know, their moms or their grandmas or their, you know, special friends. And we find them the perfect dress, you know, as part of that. So the experience is almost just as important as the dress that they end up finding for our specific brides. So we always just kind of have the dress being kind of like the icing on the cake. The real part of the cake is, you know, the memory that they get to experience with their friends and family.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just from an outside looking in and knowing some of the brides that you've worked with, I've worked on some weddings that have from brides who have purchased dresses from your guys' company. And I've never heard anything bad ever said. It's always been good things. When I'm shooting with them in their bridal suite, they're always talking about you guys. The most recent wedding I did, she was talking about her stylist and just how comfortable she made her. And that was one thing that stood out to me because I already knew you guys prior to that. And so to be able to like hear that from, you know, a vendor perspective on a wedding day, the fact that you guys are making an impact, not just like there when they're shopping for the dress, but they're still talking about you on their wedding day. And, you know, when their bridal party asks about their dress, they get to sit there and talk about their experience. That's amazing. That just shows like how strong your client relationships and how like seriously you take those and how long of a term impact that makes.
That's really nice to hear. Because certainly we're not perfect, right? Like there's mistakes and there's challenges along the way, but I do feel like our brides, because of the connection we have with them or the rapport we have with them, also trust that they can speak to us about their challenges or we can communicate with them. And they trust that we're going to handle things along the way. So, you know, we're not perfect. No business is, but the connection that we've made with our brides have made things just so much more meaningful for us and from what it sounds like for them. So that's really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not trying to gas you up too much, but like it's definitely awesome to be able to be a part of that and hear that. And so that's amazing. So I do want to keep talking about that specific topic in general, just a little bit more. I want to dive more into it specifically for business owners. Can you talk about outside of the wedding industry, can you just talk about how important it is to cultivate like client relationships and how important it is to really nurture those relationships?
I mean, client relationships, you know, it's the heart of a small business, right? Like, you know, small businesses, they're completely supported by clients that believe in them, trust them, like them and support them. You know, many small businesses are not working on volume. You know, like we're selling a product, but the product is almost like secondary. You know, people do business with people that they, you know, like and trust. So I can't underestimate, I guess, the importance of that, which is sometimes difficult for me, to be quite honest with you. Like I'm an introvert by nature. You know, so sometimes like being out there and, you know, just kind of putting myself out there is more difficult for me. But thankfully I also have some great employees who kind of, I always call the yin to my yang. Like Shannon's a great like yin to my yang. She is really strong in all of the aspects that I'm not strong. So, I think it's also important in a small business to have people that complement you and your personality types. So
absolutely. How have you overcome your like that introverted side? Because I think I also have a side of that. Some people would probably argue with me on that, but like I feel sometimes it is hard for me. You know, you walk into a wedding day and I always have to like gas myself up or, you know, like talk myself into this mindset. And it's like a switch that I have to flip and I can go both ways. But like, how do you do it?
I guess just kind of balancing it out. Like, I think people would call me like a, what do they call it? Like an extroverted introvert. Like yeah. I can be extroverted when I need to be. Mm-hmm. Just sometimes I need to also, I don't know, hype myself up for it, like you said. And maybe I just try to balance it out with like, you know, I get my energy from having quiet time maybe after an event like that or before an event like that. So just giving, I guess, my personality what it needs to balance that out. Once I'm at an event or once I'm speaking somewhere, it's no big deal. But sometimes like working myself up to that point is a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just to talk to like the audience listening here, I don't know if there's anyone listening who maybe struggles with, you know, trying to put themselves out there a little bit more. But I think one thing to understand is like understanding your personality type and understanding, you know, what do you need in order to get yourself to that point to like be able to interact with your clients or your audience in the way that you want to, which is being a little bit more extroverted. For me, that's surrounding myself with people who are way more extroverted than me, because then I just feed off of that energy.
Yeah. That's a great way to feed off of other people's energy. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, absolutely. So 9 years in business, every business goes through some sort of, you know, trials, some sort of difficulty that they have to overcome. Can you talk about one difficulty that you guys had to overcome in your 9 years of business and how you guys overcame that?
Yeah. So, I mean, being a teacher beforehand, I just had no business experience at all. You know, I'm a nerd, so I love to learn, but one challenge that I never expected was the challenge of growth. Actually, you know, you get to, you're like, oh, well, once we get to this point, we're going to be all good. Like, whoa, maybe not, because now you need more employees, you need bigger facilities. And so I think our biggest challenge was exponential growth. It's a good challenge to have, but it forced us into like, okay, we need a new building, which in itself is, you know, a big endeavor. So we moved to this building after about, let's see, 6.5-7 years in our first building. This building is about double the square footage that our previous one was. And now that we're in this building, we've quickly figured out this one is also too small. So that creates another challenge. So more to be said on that eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. Growing pains, right? It's funny because I've been to that boutique and I think from an outside looking in, it looks massive, but that's really good to hear that you guys are growing that out. So
yeah, no, they're all good challenges to have. I just maybe didn't anticipate like growth being so challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. So what advice would you give to people who are looking to scale? Like what things can you say about it since you're experiencing this firsthand at such an exponential rate? Like what's some advice that you can give to people who are looking to maybe want to scale in the next 5 to 10 years? What can they do to prepare?
I think really looking at your processes in your business and evaluating those to see. So like just a small example is when I started the business, you know, we had I didn't have a point of sale system. I was running everything through QuickBooks, you know, which is a very normal thing for a small business to do. But about 2 years in, I invested in a larger point of sale system that would allow, you know, me having 5 boutiques or seeing 3,000 brides a year, even though I didn't need it at that point, and I probably had no business even getting it at that point, but it has allowed us to scale that way very, very easily. So like the efficiency of your business you need to look at, the roles within your business you need to look at, delegation is a big thing that's even really hard for me. So, you know, small business owners, you own it all, you do it all, you're used to all that. Let me just do it. I'll do it the way I want it to be. But you need to think about, you know, giving those responsibilities out to your employees so you can focus on larger, I don't want to say larger roles, different roles, more visionary roles, instead of like the day-to-day operations when you're scaling. So
absolutely. And you mentioned at the very beginning of the podcast, you spent about 6 months writing out your business plan, right? Mm-hmm. How important was that as far as playing into your business? Because I wrote one up, but I don't think I did it right, because I just Googled how to write a business plan. I just tried to fill out the sections as best as I could. And then in the marketing section, I think all I wrote was start with a period. Cause I was like, I don't know how to market. I don't know what I need to do. I just know that I need to start. Cause that's a big portion of it, that and selling. Right. And so it's like, how did that play into your business? And like, how important is that for businesses to like do that specific task?
I mean, I needed to write a business plan because I needed to know how much money I needed. I needed to, I needed to project sales. Basically, I needed to be able to pitch to lenders to give me money. I couldn't just, show up there without having something in writing showing that I had done research. So.
Yeah. Like come up to them. Hey, I have this idea. Can you do this? And they're like, okay, a little bit more.
give me
a little bit more. That's awesome. Yeah. So yeah. With the size that you guys are scaling now, what do you think has been the biggest contribution to your guys' success?
I would say hiring the right people and company culture, and making sure that you communicate that company culture with not only your staff, but also your clients. I always feel like birds of a feather flock together, right? So like, our previous brides bring us our new brides, and it's just kind of like this growing family, I guess. As a leader, I think my work ethic and my perseverance has been a really big part of what we've done here. My husband lovingly calls me a freight train, because once I start on something, I like do it until the end, and I have blinders on it while I do it, which is a good thing in business, maybe not a good thing in personal life. But I would say those are probably the biggest wins, I guess.
Absolutely. Work-life balance in business, it's never balanced, right?
It's always a work in progress. Yeah. I feel like, especially as your role changes within the business. And I mean, as your family changes too, it depends if you have a significant other, if you have children, what stages of their lives they're at, and then the stage of what stage of business you're at. It's always changing. So if you're someone that like really needs that stability and to know what's going to happen every day in business, in your business, but small business is going to be difficult. As much as I love like stability, I also love waking up in the morning, like ready to take on the challenges for the day. And like, what is the day going to bring me today? And then getting over those hurdles and bringing to the next hurdles, and kind of remembering when you have a big hurdle in your way in the, one day, remembering all of the big ones that you had in the past. I'm like, oh, that was hard, but like, we figured it out. We did that. So this isn't that big of a deal, or it's a big deal, but I learned all the things that we had already gone through. So it gives you, confidence to take on those challenges.
And you mentioned before, just a little bit earlier, about, when I asked what was the biggest contribution to your success, you mentioned hiring the right people. That has been, I wouldn't say that has been a difficult thing, but like that has been one thing that I've always been curious about, because how do you know if somebody's the right person? Do you cross-reference that with your culture that you've created? How do you do that?
Honestly, I think it boils down to thinking about the role that you're filling within the business. And I think about like basically the personality traits that I need from this individual to fill this role. I feel like I can teach people a lot of things, but I can't teach you hard work. I can't teach you perseverance. I can't teach you motivation. There's certain personality traits that you are looking for, but they're determined by the role that you're trying to fill. So I don't necessarily look for experience in the industry as much as just the personality traits and then how coachable and how, you know, trainable they are for this specific role.
Absolutely. I think being coachable is a massive part of being like a solid team member within a company, just because, like, if you can't be coached, if you can't be taught, then what's the point in bringing them on? Because they're just going to constantly push against the system. And they're going to buck back. Right.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
But no, I definitely agree with you on that. And so, one question that I have for you that I love asking, and I always like hearing other people's like kind of opinions on this, but, and it changes from guest to guest, but what's the one thing that you believe about business when you first started that today you no longer believe?
You know, I probably had a lot of self-limiting thoughts going into business because I had never had business experience. So I thought, like, I could have this cute little business that would maybe support me. You know, I remember going and thinking, like, I needed to sell 4 dresses a month to pay my bills. That didn't even include, like, paying me. I just wanted to pay my bills the first year. Which, now looking back, like, I didn't need business experience per se. I needed, you know, the traits of hard work and perseverance and being a learner. Like, that's a big, like, personality trait of mine. I love learning. I love mentoring. And so I feel like, you know, even though I didn't have business experience, you can't necessarily let that get in the way, because you can find, like, mentors to help you along the way and to ask questions. And so that, I think that's probably the biggest lesson that I've learned along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you learn best? So you said you like to, like, learn and teach yourself how to, you know, different, like, business things. How do you learn? Like, what's the best way for you to learn?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a voracious reader. I love to read. Like I said, I love to learn. So I'm always, like, looking for resources for specific situations that we're in. I love mastermind groups. I don't know if you're in part any mastermind groups. I have 3 different mastermind groups. 2 are industry specific. So to talk just to other store owners about their challenges and what works in their businesses. And then I also am part of a mastermind group of just, like, business in general, and it's specific for scaling. And I have a business coach that's related to that. So I think that's probably, I have learned immensely from mastermind groups and having a business coach, because sometimes, you know, when you get to this point, it's kind of lonely up here, right? I needed a boss too. I needed somebody to run ideas off of. So that was a big step that I took this last year, was hiring a business coach. And, you know, I can't say enough about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't say, like, anyone who's, like, just starting a business necessarily needs to hire a business coach, like, right off the bat, right?
No.
But you did mention you're a voracious reader, and I love that you said that, because I just started getting into reading last year, like, again, heavy. And one thing that I've, like, really loved reading are just, like, business books, books on influencing, books on selling, you know, building, like, the internal side of the business. And it's just, like, finally finding something that I love reading about and then being able to just, like, let it consume me is amazing. But that and podcasting. Do you like podcasting at all?
You know, I don't subscribe. No, I listen to NPR every morning, their podcast, but besides that, I don't have one that I listen to regularly.
You're not subscribed to the Perfect Day Show?
Not yet, but I will be after this.
I definitely set you up for that. That's for sure.
I do want to share 2 of my favorite, like, business books though. Here, yes. they're on my
absolutely.
Finger here. Hold on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for letting me grab them. It's just easier if you can see them. So
no, you're okay.
2 of my, like, most meaningful business books for anyone. This isn't industry specific either. First of all, like when it comes to the financial standpoint of a business, Profit First by Mike Michalowicz is a really, really important read for business owners, because usually you get, you know, when you're first starting, you're like, I just want to pay my bills. And then you don't think about like compensating yourself or setting yourself up for, you know, financial stability as you grow. So Profit First by Mike Michalowicz, super quick read, and he's awesome. And then the second one I actually just read is called The Go-Giver. And it's kind of like a parable. It's written as a parable about kind of a man in I think he's in like wealth management, and he needs to land this big deal by the end of the month. And he's not having any luck. And so he goes and sees this man called the chairman, and the chairman takes him along this journey. And it's just a very, I don't know, it's good for the heart, I guess. Sometimes when you get wrapped up in the day-to-day like logistics, it's good to read something like this. So I highly recommend those two.
I appreciate you sharing those. I'm definitely probably going to go on Amazon after this and just like impulsively buy those. I do that a lot. I do that a lot because like one thing that I've learned is like, I want to try and build my library as best I can. Right. Because, you know, I'm only 22 now, but you know, by the time I'm 30, I want to be able to show everything that I've like been able to learn over the course of those, you know, 8 years. And so to be able to have people who like yourself who share books like that, I didn't even know those books existed. I would have never been able to like get pointed towards those. So for those of you who are listening to this episode, if you've been able to stick around this long, you know, hang out with us and hear those books that Emmy was able to share with us, go on Amazon, buy those, read them. I'm sure you won't regret it, right?
They're perfect. And they're fast reads. So,
well, I read it at a third grade level. So, I mean, I don't know. It depends on what a fast read is for you. That's awesome though. So I've been reading a couple. One of my favorites is right now it was called None of Your Business by Sean Dill and Lacey Book. And then the one that I'm reading now is called The Purple Cow. And it's kind of funny. It's a book. It's like, it looks like a purple cow, but it's supposed to talk about how you're supposed to like make your business remarkable and how to make it stand out from other companies. So excited about that read, but no, that's awesome. And so I love that perspective, and I want to get one more just from you to get to know you a little bit better. But can you talk about, you know, what's your vision for Blush, right? So what's the one thing that gets you out of bed every morning? Obviously, you're a very driven person. You're very motivated. But we all have this vision, this idea for our company that gets us out of bed, and I just want to know what yours is.
I love starting things and watching things grow. So, you know, right now in the business, my role is a visionary, and to think about how we can scale this specific store or, you know, other businesses along the way. So right now we're kind of, you know, we're evaluating the franchise process for Blush. So that's something that we're looking at expanding to other markets in the United States. And we're also, you know, looking at other complementary businesses to invest in or to start, you know, various revenue streams. Like 2017, I took over a wholesale jewelry company. So that was one complementary business that we have. And so I'm always looking for new opportunities for that, for other revenue streams. And not necessarily just other revenue streams, but other to provide more opportunities for people in our community. That, I mean, that's the basic mission from the beginning. So, you know, the more people we can serve, the more opportunities I can bring to individuals here in Lincoln. So, you know, and we just get to sell pretty wedding dresses while we do it. Like what's better than that? So
Absolutely. I love that. That's one thing. Whenever I went to weddings and then people were always like, you do video and you do that for a job, like you get to have fun and you get to party with people. I'm like, yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's like the really simplified version of it. But yeah, I get to party basically and, you know, have fun and capture moments. So yeah, but thanks for that. Yeah. You mentioned like creating new revenue streams, and like obviously that's not the biggest like goal of it, but also the part of it is and that's one thing that I don't think people should take too much shame in, is it's like the more money a business makes, the more opportunity you open up for your employees, the more opportunity you open up for your clients. And it's like that is like a big driving force in business in itself. And so, that's just one thing to keep in mind as far as like when you're listening to this podcast. But, to kind of wrap things up and kind of bring this conversation to a close, Emmy, I want you to be able to talk a little bit about, tell us, you know, what's the one top piece of advice you would give to entrepreneurs who are looking at either getting into the wedding industry or who are already in the wedding industry?
You know, cultivate relationships around you, you know, both locally and maybe industry wide nationally, just so you can run ideas off of and, you know, kind of talk through challenges with, and perseverance. You know, there's a lot of things that are going to get in your way, and it's, you know, starting a business is not the safe route in life. It's much more safe to just go get a job, you know, from someone else. And that's great, you know, but for me and for a lot of small business owners, you know, this hasn't been the easiest route. And you'll have a lot of naysayers along the way, but it's important to keep your eye on the prize, I guess, whatever that is for, you know, meaningful for you, and find people that support that vision and can kind of just support your challenges, you know, along the way.
Absolutely. You took everything that you talked about in this entire podcast and cultivated it into that one perfect, absolutely eloquent moment that you just said. So you said you weren't very eloquent and you did great.
Well, thank you.
You crushed it. Perfect. So to kind of wrap this up, I want you to be able to like plug yourself. So you mentioned that you have a couple nights that are coming up. So you have a styling night and then you have another spring sip and see for blush. Talk about that and then talk about where we can find you on socials.
Yeah. So you can find us, on Blush, on Facebook at Blush Bridal NE, Instagram, same handle. Let's see, the events that we have coming up here. We always have a lot of events, which I love, hosting in the store. And I can't wait until COVID's done and we can like expand those events again. But, coming up this spring, let's see, next week we have our quarterly styling night. So for our blush brides, well, I guess you don't have to be a blush bride, but for our brides, we spend one night where we make, small appointments. They can come in and work with our in-house jewelry designer to create their own custom jewelry for their wedding day. And then let's see, coming up in May, I should have the date for this, but I don't, is another quarterly sip and see. So a sip and see is for newly engaged brides to just kind of come check out our space, meet with other local vendors that we love, like our preferred vendors, and just see if we're the right store for them. Chat with our, you know, stylists, ask questions, because it's, you know, when you first get engaged, it's kind of like drinking from a water hose, like all the things. So it's kind of nice to be able to ask questions to our staff, you know, and see if we're the right fit for them. So
I've never heard anyone use that expression before, drinking from a water hose.
Like a garden hose. Yeah. Like all the things. So
that's awesome. That's so funny. Awesome, guys. Well, awesome. Cool. Thank you so much, Emmy, for being able to like be a part of this show and give us your insights into the business and into the wedding industry. So I really appreciate it.
I so appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so if you guys have made it this far into the episode, be sure to go over there, give Emmy, give Blush Bridal a follow, shoot them a DM, say, hey, we saw you on the Perfect Day show. Feel free to give us a follow on Instagram on our new Instagram profile.
We're gonna do it.
Yes.
We're gonna do it right now.
On our new
Instagram
profile, the Perfect Day show. Shoot us a DM. Give us a comment, give us some insight into what you thought about any of these episodes, and we'll be sure to pick from one of you guys to do a shout out in the next episode. So I'm really excited to start doing that for you guys. So we'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that. And then
there he is.
Look at that. Look at that. Four posts. We'll get way more out there. We'll get way more out there. And check us out on our website at www.buttonedupweddings.com if you're looking to book a wedding. But with that being said, guys, take everything that you learned in this episode, take the notes, get out into the world and go make the perfect day.